The commission of CCEE has a working group as a part of it which concentrates on catechesis. And over the years, many different focus points have been taken. But this particular Congress is about Christian initiation. It's not about the whole of catechesis, but it is about how do we bring young people through the process of Christian initiation in the Catholic Church, and what is the exchange of experience and understanding that we can achieve in all the different contexts across the continent of Europe.
There must be a great concern about the increasing numbers of young people who have almost no religious literacy to begin with, to start building upon in this process of initiation.
Well, I suspect the situation is quite different in the different countries of Europe. And one of the interesting things of the Congress is that it will help us, I hope, to get beyond generalities and look at the particular strengths of different countries. In some, it will lie in the parishes. In some, perhaps it might lie in the schools or in the accompaniment that the families can get in the work of drawing their youngsters into a fully participative life of faith. But yes, it is difficult because everybody knows that the overriding culture of Europe has shifted from one of being an assumed Christian continent to one which, for all sorts of different reasons, now has an ebb and flow of many different religious faiths and many different philosophies of life. But one of the points that I hope the Congress will be very attentive to is that there is an underlying openness to the things of the transcendent, which we see in all sorts of ways in youngsters today.
The challenge is making the gospel relevant, isn't it?
Well, it could put it the other way around, and the challenge is to help young people to interpret themselves and their own desires and see how those relate to the gospel. I don't think it's the gospel that's irrelevant. It is we who tend to lose touch with its relevance, and we have some discovery to do together as to how the humanity of Christ, how this great gift of the truth of our nature given in Christ answers the desires and the longings that are within us. So we see lots of young people who genuinely ask questions about the meaning of their experience. We see lots of young people who are generous in their response to those in need. We see lots of young people who want to know what the future is about. Now, all of those are ways in which, if you like, our lives become related to the promise of the gospel. And it's that process that we want to explore.
You talk about the tension between making faith attractive to the younger generations, but not shying away from the harder questions of faith. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, I think one of the great beauties of the Christian faith is that it has a synthetic quality. If you like, it's harmonious. It is a whole. And in that sense, maybe under the pressure of an individualistic culture, we've been tempted to put forward those parts of the faith which are immediately attractive. But it's only half the story. And I think what we're beginning to understand is that sometimes those deeper, more difficult aspects of the faith, for example, such as our teaching about original sin, actually correspond to a deeper need that people feel when they're confronted with their own waywardness or with their own lack of integrity that they sense within themselves. So sometimes it is those aspects of faith which explain us to ourselves as we are, which open up a pathway for greater health and, if you like, healing of spirit through the grace of Christ.
Can you give us, from your own experience, any anecdotes, any stories of working with young people that have actually really helped to inspire you?
Well, I do remember one occasion in Birmingham when I was visiting a parish and being shown round, and I met a chap in his 80s who'd worked for many, many years as a youth leader. So I was really fascinated because it is not easy work. So I said to him, "What would your advice be to youth leaders today?" So he was very clear. He said, "Don't confuse the age groups. Remember how quickly the perspectives of young people change as they move through their teens. So don't mix 12-year-olds and 16-year-olds. Oh, I said, right, that's good. I said, tell me, in your youth work, what was the most successful activity that you ever did? Oh, he said, no doubt. It was ballroom dancing. He said, that taught youngsters to meet each other, to have a sense of their own dignity, to learn some discipline in dance, and it really got them understanding each other and themselves. He said, many good Catholic marriages came off my ballroom dance floor. And, you know, it's a lesson from the past that makes us smile, but maybe it still has a lot to offer.
You're also going to be launching during the meeting a new information portal for all the bishops' conferences of Europe, aren't you? What is the goal, the aim of this?
Well, it's very impressive in the first place. Having seen it for the first time, it is an excellent website which opens up, as the word suggests, into the activities of all the individual bishops' conference across Europe and some of the ventures that they're looking at together. So it is available in many different languages with an instant web-based translation service. But it actually puts into the public arena some of the excellent work that bishops' conferences do in each country and over which they cooperate together, which is often not well understood. So, I mean, there are very many interesting things. So there has been a great deal of work done, for example, on the experience of different European countries, in which there's a sense that the Christian faith is sometimes dealt with harshly in the legal and administrative systems. So just to try and develop a wider perspective on that, there is research going on about how well teachers in Catholic schools are supported in their knowledge and understanding of the faith. I'm not sure if that's on the portal yet, but that would be really of genuine interest. And I think this is a vehicle in which those who are interested in how the Catholic Church contributes to the well-being of national societies and of the European endeavour, this is a very good vehicle for getting information out and shared.
You're holding this meeting in the context, aren't you, of the new evangelisation synod coming up, the Year of Faith also. And I understand that in England and Wales you've got some quite creative ideas up your sleeve of how you'll be celebrating that. Can you give us perhaps a preview of what's on the agenda?
Well, the wider context of this conference, yes, brings in the call for a new evangelisation and this forthcoming Year of Faith. And certainly in England and Wales, we are seeing the Year of Faith as a real opportunity to deepen our understanding of the faith and our grasp of its call. At the level of the Bishops' Conference, where there is all sorts of initiatives being offered to the diocese. Just to mention one, every week during the Year of Faith, there will be on the Bishops' Conference website a fresh piece of art, of religious art, or art with a religious theme, and a substantive commentary on it. So we want to use the appeal of beauty. Diocese by diocese are doing different things. Some are looking at a pattern of preaching which will intersperse through the year so that some of the opportunities of what is said from the pulpit will be used to deepen a systematic exploration of the faith. In Westminster Diocese, we're also putting together a refresher course for all our parish catechists, which will have an Archbishop's certificate attached to it. So there are very many ways, but overall, we're responding to the central appeal of the Holy Father that the Year of Faith is a great opportunity for us to explore more deeply the wholeness of faith, the way it is joined up, all the different aspects of it are joined up. It is articulated, and that way come to a deeper appreciation and responsiveness to the truths of faith.